Hello and welcome to the Plain English Cybersecurity Podcast, where we aim to make cybersecurity understandable for anyone and everyone. So we try to explain things in plain English as best we can. The goal of this podcast is really to help anybody trying to learn more about cybersecurity or maybe even get their first cybersecurity job. And they're looking to, you know, kickstart that career and that process and start learning and understanding what cybersecurity is and what they can do to break into the industry or just, you know, really learn more about it. This will also help, you know, protect your home network, protect your own personal life. So those are the things we're going to try to cover in this podcast. So really just want to help, you know, anybody that's trying to get their foot in the door, anyone that's trying to start, learn kind of the basics. And then as this podcast grows, we will get into much more complex topics. So that's kind of the gist. And this is our very first episode here. This is episode number one. And today's May 1st of 2025. I'm your host, Eric English. And we're going to really just try to kick things off straight away here. So the first few things in this episode I wanted to touch on just to kind of get some of the basics going. What is cybersecurity? That's probably the most, you know, general question that you can ask. And in a nutshell, cybersecurity is protecting computer assets, whether that's, you know, an IT device, an IoT device, or an OT device. Well, what is IT? Information technology. That could be a computer. That could be a printer. That could be anything like that. IoT is the Internet of Things. So your smart cameras, any other kind of smart home equipment, those would be considered IoT. And then just OT is operational technology. And that's typically what you'd find in a warehouse type setting with conveyor systems and PLCs and fun stuff like that. So cybersecurity is a way to protect all of those things, right? From hackers, from threats. And we're going to dive into, you know, the CIA triad as well. No, this isn't the government agency, the CIA. This is specific to cybersecurity. But we want to first lay out what is cybersecurity, right? So we're trying to just protect our systems from any kind of hackers, threats of any kind, right? Make sure those systems are up and running. Make sure those systems are available and online. So that's where the CIA triad kind of comes into place. CIA stands for, the C stands for confidentiality. So basically data protection. So making sure that your data that you have is safe. It's staying confidential when needed. And you can break that down even further to say, hey, you know, this data here is not really all that confidential, but this other data over here, now that's really confidential. So you can classify your data in similar ways and say, hey, we want to classify this data as confidential. And this other data over here, that's just kind of public data. So that's where the confidentiality comes into play. You've also got integrity. So that's CI, I is for integrity. What does that mean? Integrity is really, it's the integrity of your systems. It's the integrity of your data, making sure that those systems are, you know, not compromised in any way. And when I say a system is compromised, that means that a hacker, or the common term in cybersecurity is a threat actor. I don't really like that word or words, but the threat actors are, you know, not in that system, right? You're ensuring the integrity of that system by saying, nope, it is free of any kind of malware or any kind of threats, right? So we're protecting the integrity of those systems. The A in the CIA triad is availability. So these are just making sure that your systems are available. They're online, they're up and running, all that kind of fun stuff. Because threat actors can try to disrupt your operations, try to disrupt your network, try to disrupt your systems. And they can do this in numerous different ways, and we'll dive into those at a later date. But basically, you want to make sure that your systems are online so that your business can operate effectively. Now, the same thing could be said for your personal life too, right? We've all got Social Security numbers. We've all got tax documents that we receive in the mail. We've all got digital copies of sensitive or confidential information, right? Well, similar kind of thing for your home life and your personal life. You'd want to protect that data. If it's confidential, if it's your Social Security number, if it's, you know, your tax information, anything like that, you want it to be protected, right? So how do you protect that is a whole other can of worms, and we will get to that in later episodes. But similar kind of thing, though. You want to make sure that your home systems are free of any kind of threats or any kind of malware so that you can confidently use your computer and say, nope, I'm safe. My computer is safe. I know that the integrity of my home computer is good. There's no threats on here. There's no bad guys on here. Nothing to worry about. And availability, you know, in your personal life probably doesn't matter quite as much as it would in a business setting. However, you want to make sure your devices are available when you need them. So if I need to go pay a bill, I want my device to be available, whatever that device is. It could be your phone, it could be a laptop, a tablet, anything, right? You want that device to be available. And if there's some sort of threat or malware that's, you know, taking down your device, well, it's no longer available, right? So you want to make sure that all those things are online and available when you need to use them. So again, CIA triad. You'll hear that a lot. Confidentiality, integrity, and availability is what the CIA stands for. It's not the government agency that we're all familiar with. This is specific to cybersecurity. So that's kind of, you know, what is cybersecurity, right? That's the CIA triad is a big part of what cybersecurity is. We're trying to protect the confidentiality, the integrity, and the availability of our computer systems, of our networks, and of our data. Some other fun terminology, and some of the terms in cybersecurity are a little goofy, if you ask me, but we use them anyway. There's one that I also don't like, similar to threat actors. I don't like that. I don't know why I don't like it. It's just such a weird thing to call a hacker. Why not just say hacker? I will refer to them as hackers on this podcast. I will typically not say threat actor. So just throwing that out there. And by the way, a threat actor or a hacker is just what you think it is, right? It's someone, you know, typically the way this works, right? It's someone in a foreign country or someone remote from you, not physically near you. And again, this is most cases where they're trying to hack into your email account, your bank account, your whatever it is, right? They are in some faraway land or in their mom's basement, potentially trying to hack into anything and everything. So those are your threat actors. But really, they're just hackers, right? It could be a kid that just got internet access and he's learning, oh, hey, I can hack into this. That's kind of cool. So we call those script kiddies because you can go to all different kinds of websites and download malicious code and try to use it. GitHub is very famous for this type of thing. GitHub.com, you can go there. All different kinds of code repositories and things like that. And we'll dive into these in later episodes too. Again, getting back to some of the terminology that you'll hear in cybersecurity. So the CIA triad is really big. The threat landscape is another term that I don't really like, but basically what that is saying is, you know, what types of threats are out there? What types of threats exist? What do I need to worry about? So they call it the threat landscape. They've got to make it sound fancy, right? That's the way it works. So the threat landscape is just any kind of threat to your confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So that could be malware. It could be a phishing attack. It could be a denial of service attack. So malware is malicious code that gets onto your computer that makes your computer do something you don't want it to do. And it may be doing something you don't even know it's doing. So that's malware. You'll hear software, right? Well, software is, you know, standard software that we use, like Microsoft Office. But then you have malware, which is malicious software. Phishing is, I think we're all pretty familiar with that. But it's when you get an email that is trying to lure you to do something that you probably shouldn't. So phishing emails are extremely common types of threats. And there's lots of others, too. Denial of service, that's one where an attacker will bombard your system with network traffic, and basically make it so bogged down with all this bogus network traffic that you can't even use the system. So they call that a denial of service. I'm flooding your system with so much junk, it's not even able to operate. So that would be where your availability comes in. So the threat landscape is far and wide. There's many, many, many types of threats out there. Those are just a small handful. But you'll hear those kinds of things. You'll also hear things like, you know, vulnerabilities and exploits and risk. Risk is another massive word in cybersecurity. That is typically how most executives understand what cybersecurity is. They understand the risks. And that's something that we typically have to explain, especially to, you know, folks that are not technical, right? They don't understand it to the level that you might. So in order to be able to explain that, you really want to convey it in a way that anyone can understand. So risk is one of those easy ways to explain it, because you can say, hey, this is a risk because X. And if you don't do this, then this is the risk, right? So you can really paint the picture and help people understand why you want to do what it is you need to do to protect the system. So a vulnerability, going back to that one, a vulnerability is where a system has a weakness of some sort. It could be a missing patch. It could be a misconfiguration. Any kind of misconfiguration or missing patch or anything like that would be considered a vulnerability. And a vulnerability is something that hackers can use to exploit. They can exploit that particular vulnerability. And by exploiting or taking advantage of that particular vulnerability, they are oftentimes able to take over your system and install malicious software and do all kinds of fun things that affect your confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So vulnerabilities, exploits, you'll also hear like, what is the attack vector? So when you're protecting your networks and protecting your systems, you want to try to think about it from a hacker's perspective. What could a hacker do? What is the vector or the method that an attacker would use to hack into your system? And then what can you do to stop it? Right. So you want to try to, as best you can, you want to try to be ahead of the game and have as many layers in place or security layers in place that either limit the amount of damage done by a hacker or prevent it altogether, which is what everybody would prefer. Unfortunately, cybersecurity is, you know, especially blue team cybersecurity. Well, I'll talk about that in a second. Blue team is playing defense, essentially. So you're the one that is trying to stop all the hackers from getting it. Well, that's a very reactive approach. And this is the unfortunate thing with cybersecurity nowadays, is a lot of it is just reactive. We are reacting to an attacker who tried to phish us. We are reacting to an attacker that, you know, tried to, you know, do a denial of service attack on us. We are reacting to all these different things, right? It's rare when you get to be proactive. Some companies are mature enough that they want to be proactive. That's great. But others don't really understand, again, the risk. So until one of these events, a cyber incident of some sort happens, until a hacker breaks into something, until you get phished, until there's a denial of service attack, whatever it is, until those things happen, the business often says, you know, we don't understand and we're not going to buy that, you know, really expensive cybersecurity tool that you want because we just don't get it. Then when that cyber event happens, all of a sudden the business now wants to react and say, oh, we don't want that to ever happen again. Even though you've been telling them for months, this is a risk and here's how we can mitigate it. Oftentimes the business is still going to be reactive. So again, going back to blue team, you'll hear blue team, red team, purple team. Blue team is a defender. You're playing defense. You're trying to block the bad guys. You're trying to block the hackers from getting in. Red team is where, you know, you are the hacker. You are trying to hack in. So penetration testing is typically considered red teaming in a way. There's a lot more that goes into it. And then purple team is where, you know, the red team and the blue team work together in an attack scenario. And they learn from each other, right? And they say, hey, we're going to try to hack into this system. Blue team, you try to stop us. And you kind of see who wins. And so it's kind of this collaborative effort. So they call that purple team, when the offensive side of security and the defensive side of security work together and go through an attack scenario. So those are just some of the very, very high level basics that we're going to dive way deeper into in further episodes. But also want to talk a little bit about, you know, common threats, to kind of expand on that a little bit more. But you know, we already talked about malware, malicious software. So that could be something like a virus. We've probably all heard of a virus, similar to how the human body gets a virus. You get sick, right? Because your body's like, oh, what is this? And you don't feel good. Your body's fighting it off. Your body's playing defense. Well, it's very similar on a computer. A computer can get a virus. They've also got things called worms and Trojans and ransomware and all that kind of fun stuff. So a worm is something that worms its way from one system to another, infecting all those systems on the way. So a worm will initially affect one system, but then it'll worm its way to the next computer and it'll infect it, and then it'll worm its way to the next one and infect it, so on and so forth. Trojans are just another type of malware. And then ransomware is the really big one nowadays that you hear a lot about in the news. Ransomware is where an attacker or a threat actor hacks into one of your systems in some way, shape, or form. They gain access. And typically the process is when hackers gain access to a system initially, let's say you've got a website and they hacked into the web server. Well, once they're in that one system, they try to gain access to other systems. And you can do this a lot of different ways, and we're going to get way deeper into that. But they call it pivoting from one system to another. You can also maybe call it worming, but you're not really an automated program. You're an actual hacker trying to pivot from one system to another or hack into another system and gain access to as many systems as you possibly can. Once the hacker has gained access to multiple systems, what they try to do then is steal data. You'll hear the word exfiltrate. It's kind of the fancy word for stealing data. They're exfiltrating data. And typically what they're doing is they're uploading that data to some, you know, repository on the web where they're going to go and try to sell it if you don't pay the ransom. And then the third step typically is once they've exfiltrated your data or stolen your data, they are going to encrypt your system. And when your systems are encrypted, they are basically useless. They are 100% encrypted. All you will see is just a bunch of encrypted files on your computer desktop, and there's nothing you can do until you either restore your computer from a backup or pay the ransom, which is not recommended. But unfortunately, some businesses decide to pay the ransom because they maybe don't have backup. Another target for these ransomware hackers is they'll try to infect and encrypt your backups. So that way you cannot restore a backup. And so you're kind of left with this conundrum of you can pay this ransom because the ransomware hackers will say, hey, if you give us $1 million, we'll decrypt all your files for you and we won't sell any of the data that we stole from you. It's a very nasty practice. But ransomware is the big thing nowadays. You'll also hear a term called social engineering. And social engineering is nothing more than tricking somebody. It's playing a game on somebody where you trick them into doing something or believing something that isn't true or that they shouldn't be doing. In other words, a phishing email. So if you send someone a phishing email that says, hey, click this link to view these cool pictures of these cats, and someone clicks on that link, and the next thing you know, your computer is infected. So phishing is a part of social engineering. So you'll also hear terms like pretext calling. This is where, you know, hackers, you get all these scam calls all the time, right? It's a very similar technique. They're calling you and saying, hey, I'm with the IRS. You owe us a bunch of money. You know, here's where you need to go and pay this money to. But they're doing that over the phone. They're calling you. So other social engineering types, dumpster diving is just what you think it is. You're going to a business of some sort. You're jumping into the trash dumpster and you're looking for sensitive information. You're looking for, you know, anything that was thrown away that may be sensitive. So like if you go to a bank's dumpster out back, well, did the bank throw away a bunch of account numbers? Did the bank throw away a bunch of, you know, personal information of their customers? So that's what dumpster diving is. And you've also got stuff like, phishing, you know, pretext calling, dumpster diving, but you also got physical, like in-person social engineering. So like you walk into a store of some sort and you pretend like you're somebody or not. You walk into a business, pretend like you're, you know, with an internet service provider. You need to go look at their equipment. And if they let you into the back, then you can plant malware, right? You can plant another device that gives you remote access to that network, right? So there's also the in-person social engineering where you're physically going somewhere, you're pretending you're somebody that you're not, trying to gain access and then, you know, plant some sort of malware or some sort of device to give you remote access to that network. So that's the social engineering side. You'll also hear, like, there's other types of attacks, like network attacks. You'll hear a man in the middle. You'll hear a denial of service, which we already talked about. Things like that. Man in the middle is an interesting one. It is where, you know, these can happen at coffee shops, where an attacker will basically give you a free Wi-Fi access point. And if you connect to that Wi-Fi access point, that attacker is basically watching everything that you do. So every website you visit, anything and everything you do, the attacker is actually seeing that because they are the access point that you connected to. So they're in the middle of you and the internet or whatever website you're trying to go to. So they're playing middleman and they're looking at everything that you're doing. And when they're looking at everything that you're doing, they're trying to see what you're doing and steal any data that you may be transferring, steal any passwords that you may be trying to use, fun stuff like that. So that's the man in the middle type of attack. Denial of service, we already talked about. It's just a flooding of a system so that it's unusable. Some other types of threats would be an insider threat. You'll hear that term at a business, for example, where, you know, a person, an employee that works there is unhappy for whatever reason. And they decide, you know what, I'm going to steal this data or I'm going to take down this system because I'm upset that I don't get paid enough, whatever it is. Those are what you would consider your insider threats. So people that are already working at some business and are unhappy and, you know, cause some sort of sabotage or they steal some sort of data or, you know, take down a system, whatever it is. So those are a few examples of, you know, common threats and attacks and fun stuff like that. So I'm going to stop there. I know that's a lot of information for the very first episode. I don't want to go too crazy on the first one. There's plenty more to get to. I think as we step through all of these, we're just going to get more and more complex and talk about, you know, a lot more technical topics. But we want to start small. Start with the basics, like the CIA triad and basic terminology and stuff like that, and then slowly work our way up to other super technical attacks and things like that. So anyway, that's it for this week's show. Appreciate everybody listening, and we'll get another episode out there next week just as soon as we can. Thanks for listening.